Okay, it's time to talk wheels. It's the Car Guy Show with automotive consumer tips, industry updates, interviews, and enthusiast news. If you care about cars, this show's for you. Now you're tuned in, so let's get tuned up with your host. Here he is, Steve Ford, the Car Guy.
Hello and welcome to another segment of the Car Guy Show here coming at you from the broadcast tower of News Talk 990 KTMS and at the speed of light on the World Wide Web. We're connecting you to automotive consumer and enthusiast news, insights and interviews anywhere you're hearing our signal in Santa Barbara and the surrounding communities. In today's program, the topic we're going to put up on the lift is a move over to the car enthusiasts world, to the state of the automotive industry as we arrive in 2013 and beyond here in the early years of a new century. And the industry we're talking about is known beyond the new car manufacturer's showroom and is the industry known as the aftermarket performance world, with roots that date back to the earliest forms of custom cars and hot rodders in the middle of the 20th century. Today, new cars actually incorporate many features that only decades ago were the domain of racing and hot rod cultures: disc brakes, fuel injection, and multi-valve engines, which brings up a natural question. Is there a future for hot rods, custom and high-performance cars and accessories into the 2015, 2020, and beyond dates? That's what we're going to explore with our upcoming guest, Mr. Nate Shelton, incoming chairman of the Specialty Equipment Market Association. Hot rodding and the future for performance enthusiasts into the 21st century, straight ahead when we return from this break. You're tuned into the Car Guys Show on News Talk 990 KTMS. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
May I help you?
Yeah, you stock serpentine belts?
Serpentine? What do you have, a snake on your hood? Parts counter, what's up?
Yeah, I need pads and rotors for an 02 Ford Mustang.
Pads and a distributor rotor? You mean pads and drums?
No, pads and rotors. I think I'll try a few more calls.
Larry's Auto Parts, Phil.
I'm looking for pads and front rotors for an 02 Mustang.
Okay, we stocked the pads. What's your concern on the rotors?
Sounds like the pads have just hit metal.
Well, bring them in and let's measure them. There's a good chance we can machine them for a fresh surface and save you money, too.
Well, yeah. Hey, what about windshield wipers?
Well, we stock wipers and we offer free installation. And in most cases, just the refills without buying the entire blade.
More than auto parts, more than service. Along with the national CarQuest brand. Expertise you experience every visit. Larry's 8-Day Auto Parts, Old Town Goleta, 964-3545. That's 964-3545.
I'm Larry's Auto Parts owner, Phil Unander. Our team is here to be your solution.
In the old-time movies, you used to see an automobile junkyard as a place with rusty old wrecks and big cranes scrapping obsolete machines. Those days were black and white, and today's a world of digital full color. And in the new era of the green car, Steelhead Auto Recycling is at the leading edge of used auto parts. As new and future cars approach 100% recyclability, more than 70% of even older car and truck parts find new life as they come back in service at Steelhead Auto Recyclers, which means huge savings for you. You'll save on major parts such as engines and transmissions, but you can also repair and refresh your wheels with money-saving body trim and accessory parts, from hubcaps to glass, doors, fenders, taillights, and accessories. With a full-service counter and national parts search power and the new self-service section at Steelhead Auto Recycling, you'll save both ways, plus the security of a full 90-day warranty on all parts. Digital on the web at buyused.net or analog by phone at 683-8557. That's 683-8557. Steelhead Auto Recycling.
Okay, we're back with you here at News Talk 990 KTMS, and thanks for tuning in to today's segment of the Car Guy Show. I'm Steve Ford, and now let's swoop over to our featured guest today on the future of hot rods and cool customized cars in the 21st century. When you look at the aftermarket world, that is the world of parts and accessories and products that are sold after the new car manufacturers roll a car out of a showroom into the motorist's hands, it's open season for the car enthusiast to go out in the marketplace, pick out parts and accessories and custom steps that they can take with their vehicles to make them handle, look, and perform the way they want, the way they've always wanted to do since hot rodding began earlier in the 20th century. And here in 2013, we move over today to talk with Nate Shelton. And Nate is in a unique position right now as he leads up an organization that's called the Specialty Equipment Market Association, where he is the chairman-elect at this time. But coming in July 2013, as you may be listening to this off the web, he is going to be fully in place in July of 2013 for his second term as chairman of the Specialty Equipment Market Association. It's my pleasure and privilege to reconnect with you, Nate Shelton. Welcome to the Car Guy Show.
Thanks, Steve. It's nice to be here, man.
It's good to talk to you, and I guess I should, I'm saying welcome back. I'd be welcome back to the Car Guy website because you're on air and radio right now, but the welcome back is because your video is on the web, on the website. But this is the first time you've been on the Car Guy Show, so appreciate
you.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate you taking time. I've had the enjoyable experience of getting to know you at a couple of different locations that you've operated and led. Hearst
Performance Vehicles,
right? Yeah. Hearst Performance Vehicles, which is really going back to the Oldsmobile 442 that some people might remember, and a few other unique cars that were produced. I think a Dodge or two back in the '60s, the muscle car era.
Absolutely. What was Dodge Darts, Hearst Hemi Cudas, if you remember those.
Yeah,
there's quite a few of them. Hearst built vehicles for just about every one of the big three. They did the Ramblers, Hearst Ramblers.
It's pretty funny. I'm sorry. I mean, Ramblers are good cars, but it's funny to think about a Rambler with a Hearst package, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of like...
Built quite a few of those. And they also built some Jeeps.
Yep.
And they even did some International Harvester, Scouts.
Yeah, so, you know, what I'm thinking is Hearst can make anything go fast.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
but then, of course, you have another run with this years later here in the 21st century when you're doing Dodge Challenger. And, of course, this is now the company has transitioned out of that. Your Hearst Driveline still exists. But you were producing the Hearst Challenger and it was...
We did the Hearst Challengers?
Yeah.
Well, actually, we did quite a few different things. But
okay.
We did the Hearst Challengers. That's what we built the most of.
Yeah.
But then we also did the, we did some Mustangs.
Yeah.
And we did quite a few, we did 25 or 30 of the Camaros.
Yeah.
As well, when they first came out. And, and we even dabbled a little bit, did a couple Chargers.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
And then we also even did some pickups. You know, later we did some, we did a couple Hearst haulers just to kind of experimenting a little bit. So.
Well, you're meeting the truck market too. They're obviously truck enthusiasts. They're truck guys out there and truck gals who
Absolutely.
Appreciate it. Gail Banks will talk about that with, if you're into trucks and you want to get some horsepower, he'll set you up.
Oh yeah. He knows his trucks.
Yeah. So today you are speaking with us from Santa Rosa, California, where you're headquartered with Flowmaster Exhaust. So folks are thinking, well, wait a minute, I thought he was talking about Hearst. Well, no, he's with Flowmaster. And if that's not enough, I have to say you're also with B&M. So,
B&M Automotive Group also naturally has Hearst shifters and Flowmaster Exhaust.
Right.
Within the fold there. So
And I appreciate it's B&M. So it's B&M Group is a corporate name for the assembly.
Right, the B&M Automotive Group.
Yeah. Okay. Now, for car enthusiasts that are listening, they would know any of these names, of course, but B&M was originally quite exclusive to transmissions, and now today, even in and of its own brand, it's really performance products that are more than just transmissions.
We stay kind of in and around the transmission.
Yeah.
As you know, they were probably the original torque converter builders. And,
right. Holshot.
That's right.
Yeah.
Holshot and several others.
Yeah.
And they were really famous for the hydro stick, but since then they've built shifters. We're probably the largest manufacturer of automatic high performance type shifters, and we still do transmission coolers and coolers, and we still do transmissions and quite a range of converters, as well as we do deep pans for the transmissions and that type of thing. And we're just getting ready to release a complete line of differential covers.
Yeah, so accessories that relate to the drive line, basically.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so finned covers for the base pan of an automatic transmission to get some air blown by there and removing some of that heat, and the same thing on differential covers that can be stylized but also efficient for radiating away that heat from the differential.
That's right.
If you're towing or running a motorhome or what have you. B&M is celebrating its 60th anniversary. So 1953, B&M began. What was the debut? There's something pioneering about B&M as a leader.
Well, it was the hydro stick automatic transmission.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, I think that was their big deal in the day. And later they came with the converters. And yeah, originally, you know, I think everybody remembers, you know, all the big names, Stonewoods and Cook, K.S. Pittman, you know, all the big names.
The early drag racing.
Running the old Hydra Stick.
And B&M then figuring out engineering that makes a transmission stay together with gobs of horsepower, 500 to 1,000 horsepower engines, along with a whole shot converter and other high-speed converters for folks that don't get into automatic transmissions a lot. It's the idea of having like a manual clutch that you release. Instead of releasing at 1,200 RPM, you release it at 2,800 RPM or 2,000. You know what that means to the driveline. You better have some sturdy U-joints, right?
That's right. That's right.
And then Flowmaster, 30 years old. This is an exhaust company. When did that merge with B&M? When did you put that together?
Well, we purchased Flowmaster Exhaust in March of 2011.
Okay, and that's very recent. So then Hurst and B&M were first before Flowmaster came into the fold.
Yeah, we purchased Hurst, I believe, back in 2008.
All right, so you're kind of a conglomerate of performance.
Yes, that's what we do best.
Yeah, somebody's probably already taken this name, but it should be like Horsepower, LLC. Because, you know, you're all about performance. So you're in leadership of several organizations at once. You're running an actual aftermarket group. And I should note for the audience that going back, your roots also go back to Can-N filters. You had a run with
Hooker headers. Yeah. That's actually where I started when I came out of the service here, in 1972.
And I'm reading the Car Guy website here for some background on you. I see, from paying his early dues and gaining his high-performance technology expertise with leading brands such as Cam Dynamics, Koni Shocks, Hooker headers, along his career path, one of Nate's most visible achievements was bringing Can-N engineering from a $4 million company to a more than $100 million a year company. So Can-N filters was a big platform for your growth in your own career.
Yeah, it sure was. It sure was. That was really a great time. We built a heck of a good product, and people were not real aware of it. We built a lot of visibility and awareness there, and that thing just did nothing but grow.
It did. And what's neat is that we're talking about a lifetime filter for people that know K&N, and it was low restriction and long life, and it continues to carry that legacy forward, so it must make you proud to see it out there doing well.
Now, it does.
The thing that compelled, I think, both of us, Nate, you and me, to kick this topic around before we go into it, let the audience know that we thought about, it's great to celebrate where we are in 2013, and you're working, obviously, folks would recognize any one of the three brands you've mentioned, Hurst, Flowmaster, or B&M, are all blue-chip brands in the marketplace. The challenge today, as you take leadership of the Specialty Equipment Market Association as your chairman-elect, as we said earlier, and we're talking to Nate Shelton right now. Folks just joined us, and you're tuned into the Car Guy Show. And what we're talking about is the aftermarket, not the car as it's stock coming out of the showroom, but rather when you decide you want to modify that vehicle. The Specialty Equipment Market Association is an assembly of both major conference and convention in Las Vegas every year, also throughout the 12 months of the year, expressing and supporting the rights and interests of the manufacturers in the aftermarket. And the performance industry has gone through a transformation in the last 20, 30 years, Nate, that's nothing short of dramatic when you consider how hot rodding was when you were a kid growing up in Riverside or San Gabriel Valley or what is it?
Yeah, I actually grew up in Upland, California.
Upland, thank you.
Yeah.
So folks would appreciate east of Los Angeles and inland. And talk about the rural area. You were out around the farms and all that, right?
Well, Orange Groves and the grape vineyards, yeah.
Great for dirt whomping on those dirt roads, and right?
Get
yourself in trouble if you went too fast. You could end up in the crops, the tractor chasing you. So I know there's a story there we could tell or two about your early days, but we'll skip the tire story, right? Folks that know you can know that one because it's fun. But I'd love, you know, the time that we've got, I want to just be respectful of the topic. There's so many that branch off of this.
Sure.
But we talked about the state of the aftermarket today. As you take the helm and you step into leadership for the second time in 2013 over the Specialty Equipment Market Association Board of Directors, correct?
Right.
You will sit and you'll be with other representatives of other manufacturers and collectively look out for where's the industry going and how do we stay relevant.
Well, manufacturers, distributors, retailers,
warehouse,
and service level people will be working with all of them. We have all those people have a place on the board.
Okay. And when we talk about this, the topic obviously is the aftermarket. What surprises you about where we're at right now, Nate, and what concerns you? Well, let's start with what surprises you. Is there anything that jumps out and you just say, wow, I'm amazed?
The, the thing that I think surprises maybe a lot of other people, I mean, it's not all that surprising to me because I've been around it long enough, but it's
right.
The fact that with all the things that have come at us over the years, the technology, the mm-hmm. legislative things that mm-hmm.
EPA.
We've been faced with, all the different, EPA, CARB, all the things that we've been faced with, people wonder if, you know, if we would even exist or still be here. But
exactly.
we're absolutely here, and we're here, it's probably stronger, and the association's probably larger than it's ever been.
And that's the part that catches my interest. I think it's great. The question that begs itself when you look inside of this equation of growth, success, and a moment in time is that the manufacturers and distributors and so on, all the stakeholders, have been able to participate and adapt to what is a very significant change in the market from what it was with people being able to manufacture and produce all kinds of gizmos, gadgets, and hardware for cars back in, say, the 50s and 60s as the aftermarket performance world began and took off into mainstream by the 70s and 80s and 90s and into the 21st century. Now that we're here, there are equally sophisticated, challenging facets of making products and accessories for the aftermarket when you consider emission control systems and other factors that have to be compliant. And California is the poster child for high-level monitoring of anything you touch on that vehicle. And yet,
sure.
Yeah, and yet you have seen and participated in the production of components that have to meet the different requirements. What does it look like today going into tomorrow? How does the momentum get sustained when the technology gets more and more complex? Is it working? Is there a system in place?
It is working, and the association itself has done some wonderful things to help our manufacturers sustain their viability. I think it looks brighter than ever. I mean, the cars are better than ever and cleaner than ever, mm-hmm. and we're making more horsepower than ever, and like you said, maintaining that the level of technology. And I think that's what's exciting about the entire business is, it's not unusual to see an 850-horse street-driven car today that idles and runs just as good as anything else on the street.
Yeah, you're so right. In fact, I'm sorry to smirk and say this to you, but I kind of miss the hiccuping and the coughing and blowing the carbon out of a big Holley carburetor, you know? I mean, what you're talking about is fuel injection, electronic ignition, emission control systems that are seamless. I remember folks that are mature enough, I'll call it that, quote unquote, to remember driving a car in the 1970s when a thing called the EGR valve, for example, which is an acronym for the exhaust gas recirculation, that little device would kick in and the car would stumble and misfire sort of, and people would go into the dealership and say, get this thing working right. And you'd have to tell them, no, I'm sorry, that's got to be the way it's going to be if it's going to meet the emission requirements. Today, you pick up that Dodge Challenger you were driving, that Hurst performance
yeah.
vehicle. That was a strong running car that met emission requirements and got good fuel economy. Even.
610 horsepower.
Yeah.
You know, would get 22, 23 miles a gallon out of 6.1 liter
yep.
hemispherical headed
hot motor,
Mopar motor.
Yeah.
And never missed a beat, run as clean as the other cars that I were driving daily.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's what we're seeing in the showrooms today. I mean, you look at the new Corvette, I mean, talking about a domestic car, you can look at Ferraris and Lamborghinis. I mean, Lamborghinis are crazy, the tough vehicles out there. That are in the international scene, Ferrari, obviously, and Lamborghini, and Maserati, and McLaren, and all these top-end vehicles, but that you can go to a showroom today, a domestic showroom, say Dodge or Chevrolet or Ford, and buy vehicles that, I remember, just to go back for a moment, Nate, I remember I picked up in the 90s a Ford Mustang with a 5-liter engine, and it came factory with a roller cam and headers, and I remember looking back, so we're talking about a fuel-injected 5-liter engine with a factory roller cam and headers. And for folks out there in the audience who might be everyday motorists, the idea of headers meaning very low restriction exhaust pipes coming off the engine rather than cast, like looking like stove pipe. I mean, like cast iron stove exhaust systems. These headers are those spaghetti looking things that are just very low restriction. That means that here's a mainstream manufacturer, Ford Motor Company, and, Chrysler and Chevrolet were doing the same thing, as were all the international makers at that point. Moving toward what was equipped on a hot rod or a race car only 10 or 15 years earlier.
Yeah, you bet. I mean, look at Cadillac CTSV.
Yeah.
556 horsepower, supercharged, off the showroom floor.
Yeah.
Handles like a dream. In fact, the suspension system in it is comparable to Ferrari or comparable to any major, like you said, real high-end European
yeah.
brand.
Yeah.
And it's made right here in the United States. And you can buy it for, you know, you can buy it for under $70,000.
Yeah, a lot of value for that. You're talking about a vehicle that gives a lot of bang for the buck. Hey, it begs the question. I want to go out to a break, Nate, and when we come back, I want to tease the audience for this one, because just about the time you're telling me how great the manufacturers are at making hot cars that handle well and perform well, it begs the question, what's left for the aftermarket to offer if cars are getting so good? Is that a fair question for you coming
sure,
out of the break?
Sure, it's a good question.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're tuned into the Car Guy Show on News Talk 990 KTMS. We're talking to Nate Shelton, chairman-elect of the Specialty Equipment Market Association and the chief marketing officer for the B&M Automotive Group. How can you make the best better? We will be right back. Stay with us. Hey, you know about getting the job done right. If you want it done right, do it yourself. Well, that's what car and truck buffs, owners of classics, custom cars, and wise consumers know when they visit Daily Car Bath, Santa Barbara's downtown coin-operated car wash supercenter for more than 40 years. After discovering Daily Car Bath for my own cars, I've returned to give my machines the superior wash and cleaning care that all car buffs appreciate. At Daily Car Bath, you'll find premium hog's hair wash brushes with conditioned soft water and five stalls with foaming high-sudsing auto shampoo that literally floats debris off your vehicle's finish, along with consistent high-pressure washing and available non-acid low-pressure wheel and tire cleaner. And for that special finish, DI&I spot-free rinse to help dissolve and eliminate mineral spot and spray wax formulated with clear coat protectant included in the cycle. See why Daily Car Bath is known as the place where customers send their friends. And take it from a fellow car buff. When it comes to the best in car care appearance, you'll find it all at Daily Car Bath. Open 24 hours a day at the corner of Anna Kappa and Coda Streets. Quality, economy, and that showroom shine.
Change your life in a big way.
Well, having a mentor saved me. I did not have a father in the home, and my mother was ill most of the time. And Brent really is a great listener, and he really provided that extra leadership that I needed to really grow and become the person that I became. He's a great big brother.
Volunteer or donate to Big Brothers Big Sisters. We need bigs, especially men. Start something. If you're a former big, start something again at BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
When it comes to keeping your wheels looking like new, the majority of auto glass businesses have state-of-the-art tools and equipment. What is harder to find are the industry-certified craftspeople and the highest levels of service. Tri-County Auto Glass. Rock chip repairs or glass replacement with lifetime repair credit, a positive word-of-mouth reputation may bring you in. Courtesy, quality, and that new window glass shine will bring you back. Tri-County Auto Glass, downtown Santa Barbara, 963-6200. That's 963-6200.
And we are back, and we promised you when we went out to the break, we're talking to Nate Shelton, who's chairman-elect of the Specialty Equipment Market Association. In 2013, he becomes the chairman of the Specialty Equipment Market Association. And as he takes the helm to run that board of directors for this organization, he's also in charge of some of the performance aftermarket companies, B&M Racing and Performance Products, Flowmaster Exhaust, and Hurst Shifters. And Nate, I know I might have tripped up on one or two of those names, getting it exactly the way they're phrased as the brands go, but you've got your hands full. And you better have an automatic, because if you're trying to shift gears, talk on the phone, and manage all these companies at the same time, you need an autopilot, right? I'm kidding. Hey, I kidded you as we went out to the break. The challenge for you and the industry is, for folks that were with us, and you're tuned into the Car Guy Show, and we're talking to Nate Shelton about the performance aftermarket and where it's at today and where it's going into the coming years. You were talking about the Cadillac and other brands that are making some incredibly sophisticated and powerful and great handling products and good looking products. In fact, let me pause for a moment. It was the aftermarket that introduced many of the things that we see on production cars today. Body side cladding, high performance suspensions and brakes and what have you. Where does the industry in the aftermarket meet the needs of performance enthusiasts if the manufacturers are producing such hot cars? Where's it going?
Well, I think there's a continued opportunity to show how we can not only build hot motors, but start building smaller cubic inch turbocharged type applications where we can actually continue to increase the fuel economy in smaller displacement motors and still make that kind of horsepower and that kind of performance with those cars, as well as the suspension products that we're bringing out, the electronically. So the technology in suspension today is just phenomenal.
Sure.
And a lot of that has come from the aftermarket, and there's just great opportunities. Continued changes in exhaust systems, where we can find increased horsepower, and continue to quieten those cars down.
Well, it goes either way. Sometimes you want it to be. I have to pause for a moment because you talked before we went to the break. We were talking about the emission control challenge of vehicles being compliant with the California Air Resources Board and the EPA Environmental Protection Agency on clamping down on exhaust emissions. But I know, pardon me for jumping back on exhaust for a moment, but you're running Flowmaster, the exhaust products company, and you have to meet decibel limits, don't you?
We don't necessarily. That's our big thing here at Flowmaster.
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't necessarily have to meet a decibel. There is a decibel meter number out there for the
OEM.
And that's not an issue at all.
Okay.
Where we're really starting to run into some really interesting opportunities is meeting the decibel numbers that we're seeing around the country at some of the major racetracks,
okay,
making sure that those cars are not losing any horsepower, but yet keeping the motors quiet enough that they can run on a Saturday night
or a
Sunday.
If they're adjacent to any communities, they want a decibel.
Yeah.
There's the decibel limit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And some of those are getting pretty aggressive. There are some tracks down to 85 dB.
Amazing.
And for anybody who knows anything about that, that's a pretty tough number to reach. I think even your OEs are at, I think our decibel number that we have to meet on OE stuff is around 96 or 98.
So quieter than a showroom production car that's a performance car, the race car has to be in some
right.
tracks.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Now, Nate, as we look out, if we want to go into the future and just kind of project out a little bit, we're seeing hybrids that need to be looked at as aftermarket performance modified vehicles, hydrogen-powered cars, EVs. What's going on in your thoughts there? You must be giggling a bit sometimes when you talk with fellow leaders in the industry, and I don't mean giggling like making fun of it, but sort of amused by the changing, used to be an internal combustion engine, to meet the green goals of the environmental groups, as well as collaborating with the industry. I'm sure you embrace, in your role, the reality that we want our kids and our grandkids and their grandkids to have a planet that's sound. What are your thoughts there?
Absolutely. But as you know, I mean, we're all hot rodders because
right.
we like to have something that's better and different. And
right.
and we're creative, and we're a creative bunch, and I think you're always going to see opportunities. In fact, you're already starting to see some of your electric vehicles that are making tremendous power, that are very quick. In the aftermarket, we've actually got vehicles today that will run longer than the OEs will, as far as the time that they'll run on a single charge.
Yeah.
And we're working on ways to, charge them quicker. There's just all kinds of things out here. I would think that the aftermarket is probably driving the hydrogen
yep.
business and opportunity, even more so than the OEs are. And,
yeah.
We've even got the next hot rodder, Russ Wick,
yeah.
there in Los Angeles, who's getting ready to introduce an exotic that's a 200-mile-an-hour, OE production car that you'll be able to buy right off the showroom floor.
It's amazing. It's interesting as you make these comments, I'm drifting a bit in a fun way to think about, you talk about hybrids and EVs and what have you, and one thing I've long thought is, if I were to envision where Ferrari, and I mentioned Ferrari earlier, and Maserati and McLaren and all the manufacturers that would reasonably be mentioned, if we want to talk about all the top end high performance vehicles from the stratospheric level of Bugatti, any vehicle that's at the dreamy level, these are roaring, huffing, puffing, breathing machines. If you go to an EV, it becomes silent. And so I have this vision of thinking about buying a vehicle and being sure I can buy something that will make some sound effects just to give some, we talk about that from a safety standpoint when these vehicles are in parking lots and so on. They're so quiet. I just have to tell you, that's something I'm struggling with. You can't uncork an EV and go out and feel like a hot rodder. So it's got to be some way to make it so the car has some personality. And I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I'm half kidding and half serious, obviously.
Well,
at the same time.
Your gas motored vehicles today, they're so quiet that
yeah.
I think it's I'm not sure which one it is. I believe it's the 6 Series BMW.
Right.
They actually put a motor noise into the radio of the car that's not actually coming from the motor so that the driver can know what's going on.
I like that. Thank you.
Yeah.
There's hope. Because
yeah.
I don't want a Ferrari that's, you know, making no noise at all. I need to hear something that says it's got some... I wouldn't even mind if they put in some coughing and sputtering like those downdraft Webers or whatevers, you know, to give it some sound of like this thing's got some personality. Well, the future then looks good. You're obviously enthusiastic about it.
I think it's very bright. I think it's very bright for the industry.
Yep.
I don't think you can hold this industry down. I think, like I said, we're all old hot rodders, and by golly, if there's some way to do it, we're gonna build you a better piece.
Okay, and there's innovation to do that, and there has been all the way through, and that's probably the underpinning, you know, common denominator for all the aftermarket companies is a bigger, better way or a more efficient way. I'm thinking another funny light bulb thought is it would be the aftermarket that would come out with some kind of a high performance charging system that you can have in your garage that could have flames on it that will charge that EV in half the time of the original one, right?
Well, believe it or not, that I know that that's in the works at some places. One of the things that's neat about not so neat about a lot of the electric cars is, like you said, the amount of time it takes to get them recharged.
Right.
So you're right. We got aftermarket guys out there. I've actually talked to some people that are working on, like you said, hot rod rechargers.
I love it. I want it with red flames painted on the side of them. Like we're going to charge that in half the time of that original one you got. We're going to have drag races of EV chargers, right?
Yeah. Right.
So it's electrons over hydrocarbons as we go into the 21st century. And Nate Shelton, it is such a good opportunity to get your insights and hear your enthusiasm for what you're stepping into, because inevitably leadership is about overcoming challenges, and that's what you've been doing company after company and in your second term as chairman of the Specialty Equipment Market Association. So, and congratulations on that appointment and continued success to you. And thanks for being on the Car Guy Show.
All right. Thanks for having me, buddy.
And thank you all for joining us in this segment on the World of Wheels. And this brings us to the close of another visit with all of you here on the Car Guy Show. Join us here again next week for another segment from the Coastal Riviera right here in Santa Barbara. News Talk 990 KTMS and thecarguy.com. Keeping you car wise, I'm Steve Ford, the Car Guy.
Take to the street.